are talking today about the second, got a number of truths I want to share with you here, about walking in authority. We spoke the first, some weeks ago, about authority, and I dealt with the believer's authority, and that was really the main emphasis of the of that teaching. I'm going to give you a number of keys, a number of principles around walking in authority, and I'm going to deal with an issue. By the time I deal with it, you're going to understand why do great men fall? Why do great women fall? There's a price to authority. There is a price to spiritual authority. You need to understand that to walk in a certain level of authority, it is not an easy thing, and it comes with a price. And if you don't understand the consequences of the battle, how many people remember that part in the Bible where David said, when he was trying to set up Uriah the Hittite, he said to him, wanted to kill someone, he said, put him in the heat of the battle and then draw away, because then he'll be killed. Well, there's something about authority. When you have authority, you are in the heat of the battle. God gives authority to people and he puts you in the heat of the battle. So you've got to understand, if you have authority, you are going to be on the front line. Now, we'll come to that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me just start with this scripture here. Amen. I just want to give you this foundation. Well-known scripture. We'll start basic, then we're going to go add to meat to the bone. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Well-known scripture, the Great Commission. But let's remind ourselves what the word says. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority. So I'll say all.
All.
All authority. Has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. So we understand that the foundation of the church, the foundation of the commission of the church, is authority. Jesus does not expect the church to be successful without an understanding of its authority. So when the church was birthed, it was birthed with a sense of authority, with a revelation of authority. Because what we are dealing with on the earth today ultimately has a spiritual origin to it. The problems that the world faces are spiritual in their origin. Do you understand this? Do you agree with that? Mm-hmm. So if somebody blows himself up in the middle of a King's Cross station tonight, it's an act manifesting the natural, but it began in the spirit. And a lot of things that we are dealing with today, well, in fact, the reality is, the Bible says things are seen are temporal, the things unseen are eternal. In other words, what you see with your natural eye has a spiritual origin to it. So when Jesus said, I've got all authority, that's quite a dangerous statement. That means that's quite a powerful statement. It means to say, actually, what actually can come to the earth without going through me, without going through the spiritual realm? And he gives to the church, only the church has this authority. The Buddhists haven't got this, the Muslims haven't got this, the church has the authority. Amen? Praise God. Number two, this authority is what Jesus inherited. His life and death, as we know, the reward for that. Why did he go through that? Why did he live the life of obedience and die on the cross for us? Ultimately, yes, he died for sin, but what does he get back? He gets back the authority. Amen. The Bible says, Philippians 2 verse 9, goes on to say, 9 to 11 says, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. We know it. Amen. Jesus has inherited this authority. It's given to him. Amen. All that we know. So all that's good Sunday school. You say, why have I come out to hear this? Praise God. Okay, that's all good. Now I want to go on and say a couple of things. Can I put to you this controversial statement? Don't throw your chairs at me. Here's my first statement, controversial statement. The name of Jesus, how many people believe in the name of Jesus?
Amen.
How many people believe the name of Jesus is the most powerful name in the universe?
Amen.
The name of Jesus is powerful, sickness, disease, and so forth. And I want to say something controversial. The name of Jesus won't heal anybody. It won't deliver anyone. It won't set anyone free on its own. That's a controversy. Here's the key. What saves people, the reason why the church, although it is called by his name, does not walk in his name, is because we do not have the revelation of his name. The Bible is clear. Now we need to understand why the Apostle Paul, the most important prayer he prayed, so much I need to say. I'm taking my time. I'm trying to be good. Let me say it this way. For the name of Jesus to be operative in your life or ministry, you've got to have a revelation of the name. There is anything in this book, whatever is in the Bible that's in your hand or on your phone nowadays, it only works when you've got a revelation of it. The Bible says, Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can quote scriptures all day and still not have faith. Amen. You can go up to church for 20 years and not have faith. How many people are tithing today without faith in the word concerning the tithe? Can I submit to you, you tithe in vain? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I'm only saying this to you so you understand where we're going with this. The name of Jesus is powerful. It is the source of all spiritual authority. But what the church needs to get, and what you are going to get, and what I believe I've been praying for, I'm praying for myself, praying for you, is that we get the revelation of his name. Because when you have the revelation of his name, trust me, let me say it like this. When you stand before sickness and disease that manifests in your home, when something plays up in the lives of your children and in your workplace, and you know, I've got to deal with this. Something in you says, I've got to deal with this. This is not a matter of going and getting on the phone and asking someone to pray about it. There's sometimes when God switches to you and says, you deal with this. You've got the authority. You need to shift that thing. It's in your house. You deal with it. Amen? There are sometimes, and you realize the only thing it's going to shift is when you've got a revelation of the name. Do you understand? A revelation of the name. Let's prove that. Do you remember the story of the seven sons of Sceva? And they, so you know, some, you know, they obviously followed the apostle Paul that went around healing sick and casting out demons. And they said, well, hey, you know what? In the name that Paul preaches, we cast you out. The demons said to him, I don't know how many demons they're dealing with. Paul we know. Jesus we know. But who are you? Who are you? In other words, they only knew about Jesus, but they didn't have a revelation of Jesus. And hell knows whether you're just quoting something you heard, or whether it's coming from your own spirit. Do you actually know what you are saying? Amen? In other words, can I say it like this? Faith has a signature in the spiritual realm. When you speak from the position of faith, the spiritual realm recognizes it. Amen? That's why not every rebuke works. Not every binding binds anything. They know, trust me, hell knows when you are speaking from a position of faith. Amen? But that's just all foundational stuff. Now, I want to say to you a couple of things about authority, so you understand this. The pattern of the Bible indicates this. Authority, we're talking not just, you got the believer's authority, you got authority in the realm of your ministry, if God puts you in a workplace, he may give you authority there. Here's a pattern you need to understand with authority. Authority can be given, it can be taken away. Amen. Amen. Remember when Saul, he lost his authority? Amen. Disobedience. Amen. This day the kingdom's ripped from you, he lost his authority. Amen. Authority can be transferred. Amen. Joshua, Moses. Amen. One is dead, another is rising up. Amen. So God can transfer authority. There are things sometimes that there can be something that can happen in a ministry where all of a sudden there's a different anointing or an authority that comes upon you. And you now find yourself doing something that you didn't even think was even part of your mandate. Yeah. And sometimes, and it's interesting. Let me give you an example of this. Many years ago, somebody had the... Do you remember some years ago, somebody went through the UK and they delivered... Almost every household in the UK got an evangelical leaflet. Do you remember it? Many years ago, somebody delivered a poster through the letterbox. And it was just kind of a Billy Graham-type track kind of thing, and who knows where it went, where it didn't go. And the interesting thing, I read something about the testimony of the man of God who did this, and he said, the Lord said to me, I'd asked a number of people to do it, but they didn't do it, so I told you to do it. In other words, God transfers the assignment, as it were, to someone who's willing and obedient. Amen? So I just want you to understand that authority can be given, it can be taken away, it can be transferred, and it can increase. Amen? It can increase. You look at the pattern of the early church, they were a Jerusalem outfit, first of all. But God said, no, you've got to get out, get out, get out. Authority can increase. Amen? If we're talking in the realm of ministry, your authority is related to your mandate. In other words, God has assigned you to do something, he gives you authority to do it. Jesus said, I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She's got a mandate to go and recover the lost sheep of Israel. That's my mandate. And that's why all his healing, his miracles, signs and wonders took place amongst the Jews. Because he's got a mandate to Israel, so he's got authority in Israel. Do you understand this? Amen? You follow me so far?
Yes.
Amen. Don't want to go too quick. Put this down if you're making, or jot it in your notes, as it were. We can't say make notes anymore. Put it on your notes app. Amen. Authority is an issue of faith. And I just want to, I don't want to spiritualize, I want to make that very clear what that is. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, faith, come, well, Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
How many of you have ever tried, how many of you have ever stood and rebuked something and it doesn't shift, so you give up? It's not shifting. So you say, okay, so you reason it away. Well, authority, just like anything else God has in the, as for his people, is an issue of faith.
Mm.
You've got to first hear it, you've got to believe it, and very often, you've got to confess it.
Amen.
The problem is, you've got to keep on confessing it,
yeah,
and keep on confessing it, and keep on confessing it. There are some things that are not going to shift until you keep saying it, and keep saying it, and keep saying it.
Mm.
When Jesus said, speak to the mountain, he said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Well, what does a seed do? A seed grows.
Mm.
And a seed has to be watered. So there are some things that are facing you right now. And I want to say to you this. They're not going to shift overnight. It doesn't mean you haven't got authority. It may well be that your faith in the authority that you really have has to be developed.
Mm.
Do you understand this? So can I submit to you, don't sit down and let hell run through your home.
Mm.
You may need to stand and you may need to get up not just once in the year. That you may have to do a fast not just once a year. You may have to do it once every 2 weeks. You may have to get up many times in the morning, early before work. I've got to get this right. I've got to see, I won't move until I see a breakthrough. Do you understand?
Hallelujah.
So your authority is an issue of faith. I have authority. But my faith, what did Jesus say when the disciples can cast out the demon? He said, because of your faith is so little. He didn't say you haven't got faith, it's just not yet developed. So there are some things that you are facing right now that you've got to stand and keep on standing. You have authority, but you've got to use the authority, and your authority will grow with the use, or the manifestation of that authority will grow as you use it. Do you understand? Don't give up. Don't give up. Amen. I need to say a couple of things here. Authority speaks. Yeah? Authority speaks. In other words, your mouth, what comes out of your mouth is very important. What did the centurion say?
Mm.
I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. I'm a man under authority, and I have authority. And Jesus said to him, man, I've not seen faith as great as this in all Israel. What's he saying? Because that guy had an insight into the whole of Jesus' ministry. Has anyone ever seen The Wizard of Oz? Seen The Wizard of Oz? Yeah. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. There's a scene in the film where they come to meet the wizard, and then they get behind the curtain. They see what's behind it. Amen? I want to submit to you this, why Jesus said, this man, I've not found faith as great as this. Because the centurion got behind the curtain. He got behind what makes Jesus' ministry work. Powerful, isn't it? Imagine that. He's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's doing all these powerful things. And a Gentile has the insight. How does he do it? How does he do it? And he gets behind the curtain and he says, this is all about authority. You only do this thing. What did Jesus say? What did they ask of Jesus? By what authority do you do these things? And Jesus didn't say it's the wrong question. He said, well, if you answer me this question, I'll answer your question. In other words, it's the right question. Without authority, I can't do anything. But with authority, all things are possible. So how did he heal the sick? How did he raise the dead? Because he had authority to do it. Without authority, can I submit this to you? Which is a strong statement. Can I submit this to you? If he didn't have authority, it would have been an illegal ministry. Do you understand? It would have been illegal. He has authority to do it. Do you understand? And the centurion gets behind the curtain and sees what makes this ministry work. Authority. Amen? And you have authority. Amen? We have authority. Now, I want to say this to you. I've talked to you about the execution of authority. Execution of authority. I'll come back to that. I'll pop that. I want to talk to you about the administration. Administration. Amen. John 5, verse 19. Are you getting something out of this? Is it making sense to you?
Amen.
Amen. John 5, verse 19. Here's what Jesus said. He says, I only do the things I see the Father doing. Listen carefully. I only do the things I see. Someone say see.
See.
I see the Father doing. This is very important. Amen. This is, I'm now talking about the administration of authority. Luke 10, 19. Jesus says, behold, which means look. Same idea. I give you authority. Amen. To trample on serpents, scorpions, all the power of the enemy. Here's the key. You may well, although I have authority to deal with sickness and disease, it doesn't mean to say I'm going to go out on the high street and heal every person I meet who's sick. What a wonderful world that would be. I want to now submit to you this. I'm going to give you a testimony about this myself. Jesus didn't heal everybody in his day. He didn't cast out every demon in his day. Do you remember the gate beautiful in the early book of, one of the book of Acts? One of the guy was healed at the temple. The disciples says, look on us. That man was around in the time of Jesus. He never got healed. There's something very interesting here about the administration of your authority. Let me give you this as an example, because the example will give you, make it clear to you. Many years ago, I went to France. In fact, we went together. We went to France, and it was a fascinating trip. I learned so much. You'll be amazed the kind of people who are hidden underground. We were invited. Somebody had, I think it was Apostle Rennie, was the old pastor of my church, who had built me up as some Benny Hinn superstar. A great man of God is coming to town. So they, you know, so we go, however we got, Eurostar, whatever we get, went around there. And we found this gypsy community. Fascinating people. Very rich, as I recall. Very rich. Very attractive, well-to-do people. But very secluded community, you know. Very intricate community. And they believe in Jesus. So where did they come from? Who are these people? When we went to their house, as I recall, it was a mansion, as I recall. Massive mansion. What? I want to be a gypsy. I want to be a gypsy. And we were there to minister one day or 2 days. They put us up in a nice hotel. Got to minister. And then I remember one of the guys said to me, oh, minister, where did you get this gift from? How did it happen? When did you guys have one?
Praise the Lord, you know. Praise the Lord, you know. Well, you trust the Lord.
Anyway, what happened was this. They called us into this meeting. We had this meeting. They had the worship, called me on to moderate. And then they called me on to minister. And of course, now, have you ever been in that situation where you've got a minister, and you know if you don't pray for the sick, they're going to stone you? That is about healing. We're here to see miracles. Otherwise, you're a false prophet and we'll stone you. So I go there and I say, okay. So I stood before them, gave a brief word. I remembered all the teachings I'd heard around this thing. I says, okay, well, praise the Lord. It's either going to work now or it isn't. Better work. Otherwise, I'm out of here. And as I stood before the people, and the thought came to me, tell them to do what they can't do before. So just a thought like that, what they couldn't do before. And I stood there, Benny Hinn style, and I said, raise your hands, put your hand on the part which is hurting. Mm. And I just prayed the prayer of faith, and then I did something for which I had to close my eyes as I said it. Mm. I said, is there any testimonies out there? Hide, get out of there. To my amazement, hands go up all over the room. All over the auditorium.
Hallelujah.
Someone got healed over there. Am I right? People got healed, delivered. Oh,
praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just have faith. Just have faith.
It was a powerful meeting. I'm talking about administration. Remember, I only do the things I see my Father do. I had a revelation so I could exercise authority. But that's not the end of the story. Because then we go, we leave the meeting. And then we then go back to the hotel. We go, we were there maybe a few hours later, whatever it was. And then a strange thing began to happen. I had individuals come up to me out of the blue and said, lay your hands on me, lay your hands on me, put your hands on me. In other words, they wanted to kind of manipulate the gift. So it's like, oh, put your hands on me. You know, it's like remember a time when I was in Israel and people would walk down the street and the rabbi would say, hands on me, hands on me, hands on me. In other words, there was no faith there. There's no revelation there. And guess what? None of those people got healed. Amen? There was no, I may have authority, but there was no manifestation of any healing because it wasn't the time to lay hands. There was no faith in it. There was no revelation. Jesus said, I only do the things I see my Father do. So can I submit to you this? Don't let the crowd get you off faith. Amen. If you watch well-known ministries who are established ministries, I'm reminded of what David said when David went to deal with Goliath. He said, I haven't tried these out. I can handle the slingshot. I can't wear your armor. In other words, my faith are in these methods. They ain't in yours. I want to say to you this. If you're in ministry, if you're called to ministry, you will have an administration. God will give you an administration. He will show you how to work his power. Yeah? Don't move from what God tells you to do. Because your faith is not mine. For some people, they can't do anything unless there's worship. Others can't do anything unless there's prayer, unless there's five scriptures. Whatever works for you, whatever God has you to do, stay in your faith. Don't move out of anyone else's faith. Don't let anyone manipulate you out of faith. Because remember, if God hasn't revealed it, God isn't doing it. All you've got is flesh. Do you understand this? Amen. Praise God. And that is why this is so powerful. What did Jesus say to his disciples? There are many people who long to see what you see, but they never saw it. A lot of people long to hear what you heard, but they never heard it. What's he saying? In the New Testament dispensation, what comes now is revelation. Revelation, think about that. As great as the prophets were, as great as the Old Testament guys were, they didn't have the revelation that we now have. The ability to walk down the road and see. Lay hands there. Go call that out. Go heal. Go deliver. Go raise the dead. Do you understand? Go cast out. They didn't have that revelation. They didn't have revelation knowledge the way we have it now. Access to revelation knowledge. Do you understand this? Amen. So don't move from your faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So moving on. Amen. Amen. I want to say to you this, to wear your authority. So I'll say with me, wear.
Where?
Your authority. Amen.
Your
now.
Authority.
Where your authority. Amen. If you look at Isaiah 22, verse 21, don't look at it now, you'll see there's a transfer of authority from one priest to another. One priest is backslidden, another one is being called into office. And what God does, he takes the robe from one and he places a robe on another. And he places on this guy a key on his shoulder. We'll come to that in a minute. I want to say to you this, there's something about you wearing authority. I had a dream about 2 weeks ago. In the dream, I was at church, and it reminded me of the Old New Testament church of God, if I'm honest. And it was a good dream, in one sense. That was a good sense. And I entered into the church. When I went into the church felt full. I remember to myself, in the dream, I was wearing a suit, but I felt naked. And I sat at the back of the church, and somebody was saying to me, where's your garments? Where's your garments? Because what I understood just in a split second in the dream, this was in the early hours of the morning, that the ministers of the church had to wear a certain garment so they'd be recognized as ministers. Do you understand? And that's true in many churches. You have to wear an official robe. Now, the point is not this about whether you wear what you're wearing. It's a spiritual significance. I was then called up to the front to minister. And the minister who called me up said, he looked at me as if I wasn't ready because all I had was a normal suit. But I didn't have a minister's garment on. So I wasn't ready. And when I woke up from the dream, my sense was authority. I wasn't walking in my authority. You understand? And by which to say, and that's a challenge for me, a chastisement for me, to recognize this. I've got to pick up my authority. I must walk in my authority. You must walk in your authority. Amen. a lot of things, when Jesus went to minister to people, he would often establish his authority. Amen. He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That's an arrogant statement in the ears of some people. But I want to encourage you this. When you're in a situation where you know it's a matter of life and death, where there's something that's got to take place, establish your authority.
Amen.
And you establish your authority by your confession. You declare who you are. You declare what you're there to do. You declare what God is going to do. Do you understand? Before I came into this meeting, I've already declared the end from the beginning. I've already declared what God is doing and has done and will do. I've declared it. I don't come to you in my name, I come in the name of Jesus. So I'm coming to you from the realm of authority. Amen? And when you stand before people, you go in the realm of authority. Sometimes, in the workplace, you suddenly realize, man, I feel a bit naked here. I'm going to go to the toilet. I'm going to put on my clothes. I'm going to take some authority here. I'm going to declare that this place is the kingdom of God. This is the house of the living God. This don't belong to no devil. So though this madness is taking place right now, you take authority. If you need to go into a closet, go do it. But go take authority. Go clothe yourself and don't be naked. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Here's the last one I just want to give you before I talk about really what I want to talk about here, because this is really life and death stuff. Amen. One of the main symbols of authority in the Bible are keys. Jesus said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Do you remember this? Amen. He says, I've got the keys of death and of Hades. I haven't got time to go into that. I just want to say this. Spiritual authority opens and closes. It opens stuff, it closes stuff. It opens blessings and it can close curses. Amen. It's very powerful. Jesus said, I open doors no man shuts, I close doors no man opens. When God gives you authority, if you have authority, there are some things that can only happen if you allow them. And there are some things that will stop if you stop them. Do you understand? I want to challenge you now with this. Don't let the devil take your kids. Because you got authority to close that door. Amen. Amen. You got authority to do that. Yeah? You got authority to do that. There's a whole series of teachings that something's doing in my spirit around keys of the kingdom. But, I don't want to. We'll come into that another time. Watch this space. Amen. Now, in your Bible, go with me, please, to Psalm chapter 18. Amen. Because now I want to talk about the walk of authority. Walking in authority. That's what we're here to do. There's going to be two well-known scriptures, but we need to get a bit of get some insight here. So Psalm chapter 18, verse 31 to 34. Then I'm going to read Psalm 144, verse 1 and 2. They're very similar, but there's something interesting. Psalm 18, verse 81 to 34 reads, who is God except the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Someone say, makes my way perfect.
Makes my way perfect.
And again, makes my way perfect.
Makes my way perfect.
And one more time, makes my way perfect.
Makes my way perfect.
God. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. He sets me on high places. And the one you all heard, he teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Now in your Bible, I don't know whether mobile phones, iPhone does this or not, but my Bible shows me that 31 and 34 are part of the same thought. In other words, this scripture that we keep quoting, teaches my hands to make war so my arms can bend a bow of bronze, is part of what went on before. From 31 to 34 must be read together. Let me read something else for you. Psalm 144. Let me read this one for you. Amen. Yeah. Verse 1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Same idea? Same thought? My loving kindness, but read on, read on, read on, yeah? Don't sloganize the Bible. Read the Bible. Yeah, don't slogan. Change my hands for battle. Change my fingers for war. Hold on. Let's read the context. My loving kindness are my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield. Someone say shield.
Shield.
and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. That's just the scripture we need to read. I want to read it again, because a lot of revelation will burst even before I say what I'm going to say to you. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, God, my shield, and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Now, we'll come back to that one, because that one's powerful in itself. Just want to deal with this one, well-known scripture. Psalm 18, 31 to 34. Very profound. When we quote and we read this scripture, he teaches my hands to make war, so my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Very powerful, spiritual warfare, very important. Before he gets to that, he's actually speaking to someone who's in a high place. He's saying, he makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on high places. So you're now in a high place, and he's now teaching you from a high place how to war. Do you understand? The deer is an animal that can climb into high places. Study the deer, because this is very profound. So much to say, help me God to say. The deer, study out the deer, is a fascinating animal. It has two toes and hooves, effectively. And this animal has the ability to run on all kinds of surfaces. If a lion is chasing a deer, the deer just needs to ascend a rocky place. The lion cannot follow it. The deer is significant because the deer can walk, can run in strange places, all kinds of places. This is so powerful. Coming on to something here. I've got to say things before I want to say what I want to say to you. The deer is a powerful message to spiritual warfare, because the deer can walk in places where others cannot walk. The deer is walking in high places. This scripture says, to the person walking in high places, I need to train you for battle for that realm. There is a warfare that takes place at a high place that doesn't take place at a low place. We think spiritual warfare is someone didn't shake your hand on Sunday after church. Someone didn't phone me after church. The preacher said something about me from the pulpit. I'm leaving the church. Spiritual warfare. Let me bind and loose. Hogwash. You get into the level of authority God's calling you to, that's when you'll see lying, backbiting, cheating, all kinds of stuff, and so forth. So if you're offended by the small stuff, I'm going to say to you this, don't ask to be promoted. Amen. Don't pray for authority. The deer, amen. So the next level of authority comes with a warfare that is specific to that realm. I do not want the inbox of T.D. Jakes. I don't want the inbox of Benny Hinn. I have studied the lives of these guys on the internet. Do you know if you type in the names of well-known men of God right now, two-thirds of what he said about them is negative. Two-thirds of it is what's negative. Amen? It's amazing. I'm going to come on to some other aspects of this in a minute. And let me say this. I don't criticize any of them. All these are wonderful men of God. But I want to say to you, it's a war. It's a war. And high places. Very interesting. Now, here's the thing. The deer has a war. The deer. Has anyone ever said to you, because I'm about to say to you, the part of the battle that we got to deal with isn't just about binding and loosing, bending the bow and speaking at this one and speaking at that one. It's about your walk. The deer can walk in those places. Do you understand? Part of spiritual warfare is your daily walk. Do you know half the things that come on us are because of the decisions we are making? Do you understand? Part of the things that come on our lives is because of the life choices we are making. We spiritualize it, but the reality is we're making decisions that are bringing consequences. We are sowing stuff and reaping stuff back to ourselves. So I want to say to you this. The context of this scripture is clear. Hands for war, fingers for battle, hold on. But he said that to a deer in a high place. And the deer's only in a high place because he's got to walk. He knows how to walk. He knows how to run in high places. Let me give you this, an example. I was daily walk. Well, let me give you, say this to you before I say this to you. The challenge
if God's going to promote you in the area of your ministry or in the area of authority, is to, what did he say? Make my ways perfect. He makes my way perfect. He's going to straighten out my day-to-day life. The decisions I'm making. Am I walking right? Amen? Because if I'm not walking right, if I go higher, it will be exposed. So I'm scared, in one sense. Because I know there's so much stuff in my life that ain't right. So God, not yet, not yet. Give me time, give me time. 1 week, 1 week, 1 more week, 1 more year. Voila, voila, voila. Voila, voila, voila out of it. The other day, I was at home. And one of those moments of truth, when your child says something to you and you think, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And then the Holy Spirit says, that was me, you know. And she said, Dad, I've noticed that when somebody says to you, when they don't hear you the first time, you lose your temper and you shout at them. And I said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Then I went to order McDonald's, the drive-thru. And I said, I want, what do we have? 20 nugget share box. I know this in my brain now. I want large fries. I want a large fizzy Fanta. Go through the order. And then they always have this irritating thing with McDonald's. They keep saying, is that your order complete? No, it's not complete yet. Wait, please, and I'll tell you when it's complete. I give out the order. She has the audacity to ask me, sorry, could you say that again? I said, I want a large fries. And then as I'm shouting, having this conversation with this
machine,
shouting my order again. I remembered my daughter's words. I said, like, oh.
There it is.
So I said, oh, my Lord. So now what's gone now? Of course, I'd like to say I changed up. And now I got some working on me on this. Here's my point. I'm now getting better. Because I've now apologized at least to 3 different chopper systems. So I think I'm doing good. I'm learning. I'm on the path. God's making my way perfect. Because there's no point me standing on the God channel and me preaching righteousness. And then the next thing they see is me losing my temper and saying, that was no good worship. Get off the stage. What would that be? That would be bad, wouldn't it? So I've got to learn how to walk in the high places. Yes. So God's saying, I'm straightening, making your way perfect. Now there's a whole lot of other stuff God's doing, and I'm going to bore you with all that stuff. Suffice it to say, God's got to make my way perfect. And the reason why God's working on your life right now is trying to get you ready to operate at the next level.
Amen.
Amen. So though your gift will take you up, your character will bring you down. Do you understand
this?
Praise the Lord. Now, very interesting. Very interesting. Now here's the other one. Just want to give you this one. This is Psalm 144. Read it again, because we're almost out of time. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for all my fingers of battle. That's what we talk, that's what we preach. My loving kindness are my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, is who subdues my people under me. Now, if you're in a war, if you're in a battle, we need to understand a number of things here. I want to just deal with this one word, shield. Very important. How many people know that in an army, there is a difference between attacking and defending? In a football game or any game, there's a difference between attack and defense. Amen? We are used to people being good at attack, not good at defense. Or some people are great at defense, lousy at attack. I want to submit to you this, and I'm going to submit a reason why great men fall and great women can fall. Yeah? I want to preface it by saying this. First of all, I respect everybody that names the name of Jesus. Let's be clear about this. So I'm not criticizing anybody. I just want to say this to you very clearly. First of all, this. If you hear of casualties of war in a natural battle, if you hear that 10 soldiers were killed, 100 were killed, 1,000 killed, you never conclude that wasn't really a soldier. You say that was a real war. So when you hear of great men, great women falling, sexual sin, an affair, went off with the money, did something, or, you know, shouted at the McDonald's assistant, something like that. whatever they did, that was a real man of God. That was a real woman of God. But they became a casualty of war. I want to explore why. Something, I'm just taking my time to get the right words. You will not survive if all you know is how to attack. You've got to know how to defend. You've got to know how to use the shield of faith. Do you understand? The shield is a defensive response. I want to say to you this. If you're a Christian, never mind if you're called to ministry, you are going to be attacked, so you're going to need to know how to use your shield. I can be up here right now preaching a great word. I remember one time I preached the word. I want to say this to you. I'm going to be really honest with you about this. I went to some place. I preached the word. I was preaching good, man. The glory of God's falling in the place. The power of God's falling in the place. And as I'm standing there, this thought comes and says, isn't she gorgeous over there? Excuse me? I'm calling that the power of God. You're calling that some woman who's not even my wife. How gorgeous she is. By the way, she is gorgeous, but that's not the point. The point is, this is completely inappropriate. Hang on. But I spoke back to the thought. In other words, I lifted up my shield.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Here's the point I want to say to you this.
Amen.
There are ministers of the gospel.
Glory. Amen.
Who have a great sword, but they have no shield. So they can preach and teach. Miracle signs and wonders take place, but when they go back home, they've got no defense to pornography. They've got no defense to adultery. They've got no shield. They have no shield against marital abuse. So in other words, their life becomes a contradiction, and it can happen to anybody. You are great offensively, you're not great defensively. I want to say to you this. Now, this is the context. We keep quoting the scriptures, but not the context. The context that he said, amen, my hands for war, my fingers for battle. And one of the things he goes on to say, God, you are my shield. In other words, you need to know God as your shield. So when a sex dream comes to you at night, you go, God, you're my shield, man. I ain't going to take this, man. This ain't going to take me out. Amen. God is my shield. Amen. So I'm a minister of the gospel, but I can be attacked. I used to be embarrassed. I used to feel, I can't be attacked. No, excuse me, it's the opposite is true. The more powerful you are, the more attack, the more target you are. So expect the insecurities. Expect the defiled dreams. Expect the kind of the people who wouldn't give you time a day in your previous life, all of a sudden they like you. Excuse me, who do you think you are? My point is simply this, you're going to be attacked. So you're going to need to know how to use your shield. And one of the things, and I find myself speaking to myself or speaking to thought more now than any other time. Because the higher you go,
yes.
Amen, the more you can be attacked. Do you understand? So walking in authority, we don't want casualties of war.
Yes.
As you have more authority, as God increases your authority, as you walk in the places that God has called you to go to, then you ain't just going to be a good attack. You're going to know how to defend yourself.
Glory to God.
And teach your children how to defend. Teach your children. Oh, goodness me. Teach your children that thought doesn't have to have the final say. Teach your children to speak back to ungodly thoughts.
Yes.
Teach your children how to use the shield of faith. Because the shield of faith is basically speaking the word back to what hell is throwing at them. Do you understand this?
Amen.
Amen. Use your shield. Use the shield of faith. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm just going to close with this. I'm out of time, but before they come and eject us, let me just get this out of the way. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. Amen. When you go to the next level, this is very interesting. I just want to say this to you. As you are promoted, God promotes you, whatever you're called to, master your flesh. Recognize your flesh is the number one enemy. Not the devil, your flesh. Master your flesh. In the temptation in the wilderness, and this is then very interesting if we're talking about ministry. When the Satan comes and tempts Jesus, three areas of temptation. What is
quite interesting, and this again, we're going to understand why great men can fall. The nature of the temptation was to mix sin with spirituality. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. In other words, use your spirituality to cover your flesh. I want to say to you this. One of the safeguards that you can take in ministry, or even just as a Christian, whatever you are, but especially if you are someone who's known to be spiritual, is to have someone who can tell you it the way it is. Someone who doesn't allow you to spiritualize your flesh. So if I've just got a bad temper, let's not say it's spiritual, it's righteous indignation. It's just a bad temper. If I'm sounding off at the next shop assistant, it's not because I've been praying with the Lord and the Lord's revealed something. No, you're just rude, man. You're just rude. Just apologize and move on. In other words, we need counsel very often. So people who are around us, yeah, I've got some counsel here. We got people around us who can get behind some of the spiritual hogwash and give you real feedback and say, that's God, that ain't God, that be you. Amen? The Bible says the word is sharp and active to the dividing asunder a soul and spirit. Because very often we need to divide the spirit from the flesh. And the challenge for people who are walking in authority, because Jesus, he knew the issue about the salvation of the world was at stake. And these temptations, it wasn't an ordinary temptation. And if you look at it very carefully, when great people, all kinds of scandals you see in the church, it's very often another manifestation of the same temptation Jesus faced. Where they have covered over flesh with spirituality. How can you be in something? How can you be in ministry for years and have something going on wrong in your life and everybody knows about it and says nothing about it? Because they've said, well, spirituality covers the works of the flesh. Do you understand? So I want to submit to you. Get counsel. Don't be isolated. And be accountable. Amen. So much to say. And I want to say to you this. The higher you go, then whatever is in your flesh will come out. Because the enemy only has your flesh to deal with. Amen. And your flesh is, and that is you. That is you. Don't be condemned, because we've all got issues to deal with. God is gracious. God is gracious. And I want to say this to you. God is only using imperfect people. God ain't just looking for perfection. God ain't looking for perfection. He will deal with you on the way. You just need to be open to let God deal with you and move you and change you on the way. Amen. One final revelation, then I'm out of here. Psalm 144, hear this. He says, my high tower and my deliverer. High tower. Do you know there's a difference between the fortress and the high tower? The fortress is a place, was a defensive structure, like a castle. No, a fortress. A strong place where no one can get in. But funny, because this Bible indicates that that's not enough. Because he says, but God is not just my fortress. He's also my high tower. In Bible days, somebody, a watchman, would climb the high tower, high tower, several feet up in the air, and he would be able to see all around. So he could see the enemy from afar. Amen? There's an aspect of the battle where God will help you to see issues which are coming from afar. Amen? There are some things that are coming down the generational line. If you're in the high tower, you'll see it. You'll see stuff that comes from afar. He says that he's my high tower and my fortress. I need God to help me to see things at a distance. Not just the things of the ground. Do you understand this? Amen. You catch that? Makes sense to you? Amen. Praise God. Out of time, not out of words. Amen. Amen. Hear this carefully. Wherever you are right now, we have authority. It's great responsibility. Amen. Those of us who are called into any form of ministry, that comes with a price on it. That will come with a greater level of exposure, greater level of promotion. And I've emphasized to you the importance of your daily walk. Your daily walk is as important as the binding and the loosing. Amen. Because you can say, like Jesus, he's got nothing in me. Amen. And we want to get there. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm striving for. I ain't there yet, but I'm on my way. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Shall we stand on our feet?